Matthew 16. I want you to look with me, beginning, if you would, verse 21. It says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples." Look at those words again. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples." In other words, this is an important stage in the ministry of our Lord Jesus. This is a milepost. This is a watershed. And it's a watershed with regard to one specific thing. Verse 21. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day." Wow, no kidding. This is a very important moment, and yet, predictably, the disciples didn't quite get it. Verse 22, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." You're not going to go to Jerusalem and suffer all these things and then be killed and raised. And what happens? Verse 23, Jesus turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." So there you have the revelation, the disciples rejecting the revelation that he's going to die and suffer. And now, before we pray together, here's what the Lord said in response to all of this. And this is our text for tonight, verse 24. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples," then, after this discourse, after revealing them, after this change in his ministry, "then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me." Now, look at me for a moment. What did he just tell them he was going to do? "I'm going to Jerusalem." He's beginning to tell them from this point on, "I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer many things of the people who are in charge. I'm going to be killed." And then he turns to the disciples and he says, "If you're going to follow me," look at it again, verse 24. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now, let me ask you a question before we pray. What does that mean? What exactly did the Lord mean when he said to his disciples, "Deny yourself"? If you're going to come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Because understand, five times in the gospel, separate times in the Lord's ministry, he uses the words, "Take up your cross and follow me." So that the question tonight is pretty simple. What does it mean? What cross? Is he talking about the Roman instrument of death and torture? How are we supposed to obey what the Lord admonishes here if we don't quite understand it? Well, hopefully tonight we will all understand it just a little bit more. And in understanding it, hopefully prayerfully, we will obey it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word again tonight. And I ask, Father, you help us to understand the power and the import of these words to the disciples and to all of us here. And so please speak to our hearts tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm pretty sure tonight that most everybody here has heard many, many times the totally and completely wrong application and interpretation of Matthew 16:24. For instance, some people say, you know, this ailment that I have in my life, this chronic pain, this is the cross that I have to bear. Or, everyone has a cross to bear, mine is my job. Or my special need child, or my race, or my spouse. Don't say amen. Okay. But it's true, people say all kinds of things using the language of our Lord's teaching here that has absolutely nothing to do with his teaching here. You say, well, pain is my cross. No, no, no. You talk about pain and suffering. There are people who are dying of AIDS, and are they therefore carrying the cross? Bearing the cross that they're called to bear? Is that associated with the cross of the Lord Jesus? Some guy's in jail for murder and he says, this is now my cross that I have to bear for the next 40 years. No, it's not a cross. It has nothing to do with the cross that you're bearing. A gambler goes into bankruptcy should never comfort himself with the notion that he is somehow now bearing his cross in the will of God. No lost person, really, regardless of the hardship or the suffering that they are enduring, is carrying a cross in obedience to following the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you have to remember that the Lord said twice he connects cross-bearing with following him in the very same sentence. Look again at verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man, here's the first instance, will come after me. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, and here's the second instance, and follow me. So, there you have it. Anybody who is truly a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have to take up his cross. And by the way, being a child of God, being born again, does not automatically equate to carrying that cross and or to following Christ. We know that, for example, because in another text, remember what the Lord Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, wait a minute. Jesus said daily. Daily? You don't get saved daily. You don't get born again daily. But as a follower and as a disciple of the Lord Jesus, Jesus says that you're going to have to take up your cross, quote, daily. And folks, what that says to us tonight, among other things, is that a child of God from the moment of salvation is not always and automatically bearing his cross and following Jesus. In fact, what the Lord implies in that text is that at least once a day, a Christian is not necessarily bearing his cross, because you can't really take it up, right? You can't take it up if you're already carrying it. So that when Jesus says, every day you take up your cross, he means every day, daily, a child of God has to be purposeful, even proactive. This is what Paul meant when he said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die, what's the next word? Daily. Well, can't you just die once and for all and it's done? No, he says, I die daily. What do you mean by that? He meant that every day, on a daily basis, he did what Jesus is teaching in verse 25. Look at it. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life, that's dying, daily, for my sake, he said, shall find it. In other words, Paul took it up. He picked up his cross. He died daily. He took up his cross every day. The question tonight for me and for all of us as God's people, for all of the followers of Jesus, is simply this. A, are you taking it up? Did you take it up today? And B, what happens if you don't? Do you ever think about that? What happens when a child of God leaves, metaphorically, of course, leaves his cross lying on the ground that day, today, tomorrow? Well, I can tell you this, and you'll see this in a moment, I think. In the light of eternity, and in the simplest of terms, it negates the whole day. Because the scripture says the flesh profits nothing. So, I wonder if you've ever had one of those days when you went through the entire day and you really weren't following Christ because you didn't die that day. That day, you didn't take up your cross. Before we get to what it even means to take up a cross, that day, you ever had a day where you just felt like you wasted the whole day? I've had those days. And there are times, I can't remember the last time, there are times when I've had 104 degree fever and you're just so sick. You just lay there all day long, can't read, can barely pray. On days like that, I feel like I've wasted a day. It's a lousy feeling. Because we believe that every day is a gift from God. Every day is an opportunity. It's a blessing. It's a privilege. And so nobody, certainly no disciple of the Lord Jesus, wants to waste a whole day in the light of eternity, right? Because you only have so many in your life. And you know what some people think, by the way, is a waste of time and a waste of a day isn't necessarily what God considers a waste of time or a waste of a day, and vice versa. For example, in Luke chapter 12, the rich fool, he thought that his day was a great day, a very successful. In fact, he thought his day was full, utilized to the max. He closed some deals. He made some profit. He had some fun. He ate, he drank, and he was merry. For him, his day wasn't wasted at all, but in God's estimation, it was a total waste of a day when it didn't have to be. On the other hand, the world would look at Paul, for example, sitting in jail in Caesarea in a prison where he did not write a single epistle. And they would look at that experience. He was there for 2 years and say, what a waste. What a waste of 720 days. Well, not if he died daily, not in God's economy, and not from heaven's perspective. And folks, the reason why it's not a waste in God's kingdom is that in the Apostle Paul, or in the Apostle Paul's in the first centuries, let's say his calendar, let's say the Apostle Paul's day timer, whatever, Google Calendar is what I use. He had already by that time taken sort of this metaphorical pen and written the words, May 24th, A.D. 61, I died today. I took up my cross. I have on my iPhone a calendar. And anytime and every time the staff puts something on that calendar here at the office, it pushes a notification to my iPhone, and then the iPhone reminds me of this. It sends daily notifications. Do this today. This is due tomorrow, and so on. And the chances are you have a calendar somewhere like that, maybe a monthly one on your desk or your fridge or whatever, and on that calendar, you write things that you're supposed to do that day, right? These are the daily things or the weekly things, and these are the important ones. And the reason is, if you don't write them down, you don't want to forget them. They're too important. It's a daily reminder. Well, the Lord's giving his apostles a daily reminder. What about writing on the calendar today, take up my cross? Today, die to self. Recognizing what Jesus is saying in this text is real. He means this. He's not just being poetic. He means every day that we want to follow him, daily we have to take up our cross. And so important is it that if we don't take up our cross, we've ruined the day. Look, I'm not suggesting that you literally take your pen or your crayon and you write down, bear cross today. Because actually, it's sort of the opposite of that. You don't need to write it down. In the sense that the things that are the most important, the things that you have to do today, you wouldn't think of skipping, you don't write those down. I don't have on my calendar, eat food today. As if I have to be reminded. I have on my calendar, don't eat so much food today. But I don't have to write down, get dressed today, or study today, or walk from my car to the door today. It's Sunday. Reminder, go to church. No. In the same way, it ought to be that what the Lord is admonishing about daily here, that bearing your cross, taking up your cross every day, is so part and parcel of your sustenance, your daily life, that you always take up your cross. That you would never think, that you would never want to waste a whole day living in the flesh, and just the flesh, and not dying to self. An entire day of your life that might or might not count for eternity, depending on what you do with that day. And you know, there are certain reasons why, if you don't obey Christ, and you don't take up your cross tomorrow morning, Thursday morning, and you don't die to self that morning, that day, there are certain reasons why that it would lead to a ruined, a wasted day. At least wasted in the eyes of God. At least wasted when you are in eternity and you look back on your life and you're 70 and by reason of strength another 10 or more. For instance, first thing I want you to think about is the fact that, number one, if you don't take up your cross today, then you don't follow Christ today. Now, I want you to hear this very carefully because I didn't write this. This is our Lord. Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if, that's a big word, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, beloved, let me remind you again of what this entire metaphor was all about. Crucifixion, as everybody knows, was a Roman invention. It was a Roman invention as a means of public shame. You could kill people here and there, and there were ways to have capital punishment where nobody saw it or it was done behind doors. But this was specifically designed as a means of public shame. You were out there on a hill for everybody to see with your arms outstretched. And part of the public shame, including the victim carrying his own cross. They would fashion a cross that would be your cross. You would soon be hanging on your cross. You would be publicly humiliated and associated with your crime. And so they would have you pick it up. And you carried your cross. It was designed to add insult to injury. It's somewhat like the Nazis who would have their victims dig their own graves, knowing they were digging their own graves before they were shot and put in them. In this case, the concept of carrying one's own cross would soon take on a whole new dimension when the Lord of glory, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Himself, willingly gave His life at a place called Calvary. In other words, when Jesus told the disciples, "Follow me," He was leading them to a cross. From that time forward, we read earlier, began Jesus to tell His disciples how He must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests, and be killed. Then He turns to them and says, "Now follow me. But if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself, because we are going to a cross." And since that cross was a symbol of shame, right, and rejection, and worldly disapproval, then guess what? Anybody who truly follows the Lord Jesus is going to experience spiritual rejection from the world and today's equivalent of the chief priests and the scribes and the rulers. Any child of God who is not willing to take up that cross every day isn't willing either to follow the Lord who carried His cross. In other words, it is impossible tonight to be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ until and unless you are willing to bear His shame. Until and unless you are willing to embrace the same kind of rejection. Because Jesus said, "They hated me before they hated you. They hate you because of me." Listen to this text, very important scripture. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." You ever wonder why? You know, we've talked about this in the past. You know, they're taking certain hymns out of hymnals today. They're taking the militant hymns out, first of all. "We're marching onward, Christian soldiers." They're taking those out, too militant. But mostly, for the past 40 years, in mainline denominations, they're taking out all the hymns that have to do with the blood. Now, in Revelation 5 and 4, it says we're going to be singing about the blood forever. So I don't know what they're going to do about that. Oh, wait, they won't be there. That's why they're going to be there. See, why are they taking out hymns? Because the cross, the Bible says, to them that perish, it is foolishness. In that text, verse 23 goes on to say, "We preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness." Right? Let me tell you something. When I meet people out and about here in South Florida and Palm Beach County and all these years, I've learned that when they find out that I'm a minister, and they find it out really quick, typically. When they find out that I'm a reverend, a pastor of a congregation who went to seminary, quite frankly, they like that. They don't mind that a bit. People in society take well to the local minister, reverend, marital counselor, funeral, wedding, religious leader. And sure enough, through the years, I have been invited, and this is my hometown. My brother worked here in Jupiter in high school. My dad worked here for many years back when I was in high school here. And this is my hometown. And through the years in this, my hometown, since I've come back here 30 years ago to pastor, I've been invited to speak and cooperate and lead and help organize or co-chair or virtually any community or town project public ministerial effort that's ever been called upon through the years, especially for the first 15 years. And all those years and more, I've received these invitations to be a part. And the first year I was here, I was pretty young. You know, I was 29, and those younger days, I was a little more naive to lock arms maybe in some of these things and a little ecumenical, you know. But you know what I learned real quick? I learned it, first of all, when I prayed a prayer once and was approached afterwards and said, no, pray like that. Next year, Reverend, when we do this, and I'm thinking, it's not going to be a next year because I get the point. I learned very quickly that the only way that the world will ever embrace a minister, a pastor, a reverend, is if that minister would agree to compromise the cross of Jesus Christ. To, you know, it's okay to have the symbol, but the meaning of it. The world doesn't mind a Savior and a minister of Jesus, as long as it's not the born-again, Bible-believing, literal heaven and hell, only one way to be saved, Jesus, which is the only one in the Bible. And I have to tell you, as soon as I learned that, I remembered the words of Paul, who said in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Think about those words. Paul said that because of the cross, and if you're bearing it daily, by the cross of the Lord Jesus, the world is crucified unto me, it's dead to me, and I am dead to the world. He's saying there's no compatibility between the world and the true cross of Christ. As I stand here tonight, by the grace and mercy of God, I pray every day, every single day, we at Beacon Baptist would be true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We would not be ashamed of the cross of the Lord Jesus and testify that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. And of course, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. I'll say it again. If you don't take up your cross daily, you've ruined that day because, number one, you're not following Christ. Number two, I want you to notice, if you don't take up your cross today, you're not denying yourself. Right? Because here's the wording. Look at verse 24 again. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, first of all, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Now, beloved, please listen to what our Lord is teaching, because he's saying that the only way that you're really going to take up your cross, the only way that you're not going to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus, the only way that you're going to be identified with him throughout the day, no matter what comes across that day, is first, you're going to have to deny yourself. You say, deny myself? Every day? I wasn't taught that when I was young. A lot of us are from a generation. I'm from the baby boomers. And you know, we baby boomers were taught to affirm ourselves. The opposite of denying ourselves. In fact, we were raised by Dr. Spock. My mom told me a few years ago, Jimmy, I read Dr. Spock. And the best thing I ever did with that book one time was I spanked you with it. We were taught by Dr. Spock, my mom was taught, that I'm the most special person on the universe. There's a book many years ago Rick gave me in my old office. It's called Cat and Dog Theology. Remember that book? It's a book about the two opposing views of relationships to God. One's biblical and one's humanistic. The example it gives is a dog says, you pet me, you feed me, you shelter me, you love me, you must be God. A cat says, you pet me, you feed me, you shelter me, you love me, I must be God. So in other words, the cat says, you exist to serve me. The dog says, I exist to serve you. And you know, folks, that's the huge, huge difference. The Bible's not teaching that life is supposed to be a funeral. Quite the opposite. We have a life more abundantly. The familiar paradox of the Christian life is to be alive, to really live, you die to self. Remember what the scripture says, except a grain of corn fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. In other words, it's not the person who says, I want to live about me, I want to find myself, I want to affirm myself. You abide alone. That's a wasted life and a wasted day. Verse 25, look at it. It says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. So again, our Lord's not calling for his people to give up their life, but to find your life. He's not calling us to give up joy or victory or life. He's calling us to find it by denying yourself. And what our Lord means here is that if there's anything in your life that would prevent you from taking up your cross, ambition, pride, greed, fear of rejection, loss of position or power or prestige, whatever it is that hinders you from taking up your cross, deny yourself. And to do that, you really are going to have to deny yourself every day. Trust me, I'm standing up here as your pastor telling you that I haven't done it every day. But I'm telling you that that's what our Lord is calling for. So that every day you can take up your cross and then you can follow him. A day lived for yourself. Think about it. If a day is lived for yourself, what is it? Well, it's wasted. A day that's lived following Christ. No matter what you do that day, even if, like Paul, you're sitting in a jail, if you're following Christ and you've died to self, that day's never wasted. The only way to live for him and to follow him today, therefore, is to first, this is the first thing he says, deny yourself. Deny your own pride, your own will, and take up that cross. Which leads us to the third thing. And that is, number three, if you don't take up your cross today, then you don't make a difference today for others or for eternity. Look at verse 21. This is an amazing statement here. Look at this. Verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how? That he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes. Now, what's in Jerusalem? The temple. Who's working in the temple? The chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. And be killed and raised again the third day. Now, here's a question. If this were true of you, okay, knowing, if this were true of you that you knew where you were going and what was going to happen, knowing that the elders and the chief priests and the scribes were out to slay you, to cause you to suffer, what would you do? Well, what we do is we avoid it. Stay as far away as possible from the temple, and especially from the leaders in the temple who despise your teaching. What did the Lord do? Remember the word daily in this text? Don't turn there. I'm just going to skip ahead a few pages and chapters. And let me tell you what Jesus says. This is a long time from then. Jesus says, I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you laid no hand on me. Now think about that. Jesus said that in Jerusalem there are elders and scribes and chief priests who want to kill me and torture me. What did he say he did? Daily. What did he do? Every day. What does that mean? That means that the Lord Jesus had to deny himself, the flesh. Look, he taught daily in the temple so that every day our Lord made a difference. Now, had he gone back to Galilee and avoided the temple and avoided God's will for his life and not denied himself, he wouldn't have made a difference for anybody or anything. But because he went to the temple, he made a difference in everybody's life. Daily, Jesus denied the flesh, picked up his cross, and helped others in that path. And I just want to remind you tonight that anybody who follows Jesus, a true follower, will do the same. They will, number one, deny themselves. Number two, take up their cross, not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus, and then they can follow him. And in modern American Christian society today, everybody wants to do the third thing. You ever seen the WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? They just want to do that. They want to do the what would Jesus do without the first and the second thing. But not only is it a waste, it's impossible. It's a ruined day when a child of God does not deny himself, does not take up his cross, and thus does not follow the Lord. Let me put it to you this way. Every morning when you wake up, metaphorically, you have a cross that needs to be picked up. Because he says, take up your cross daily, right? So every morning when you wake up, there's a cross that has to be taken, embraced. That cross identifies you as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, specifically the Christ of this book, the true Savior of the world. And as such, to most of the world around you, it's a cross of shame. It is a cross of derision. And you know that. You know it is. So the only way you're going to pick it up, the only way you're going to get up in your house and walk out that door, unashamed of the Lord Jesus carrying the cross he's given for you, the only way is if first you deny yourself that day. That means losing your life for his sake. And of course, when you lose your life for his sake, Jesus said, you found it. You have found it. You have found the will of God so that nothing on that day will ever be wasted. Think of it this way. We have young men and young women in Iraq and Afghanistan right now. And every morning they have a choice to make. And it's a real choice. They signed up years before. They went through training and so forth. But every morning they have a choice. We know that some, like Bo Bergdahl, denied that choice. And that choice is, it involves whether or not they're going to put on the American uniform. They know that where they're at over there, that uniform is despised and hated. That uniform makes them a target. So they have to deny themselves. They have to look at something bigger, their country, freedom, their calling, in order to put that on. However, when they put it on, suddenly everything they do that day is in service. It could be a mundane thing, a simple thing. Splicing some cables like my dad did. But the fact that they're wearing that uniform that day, they've denied themselves, they're doing it in service to the nation. So that, you know what? The way to actually make a difference is to be different. And believe me, Christians who take up their cross and follow Jesus are different. And what Jesus was telling his disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer many things of the chief priests and the elders and the scribes, and I'm going to be put to death. Follow me. But you're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me every single day. Now you say, Pastor, how do I know? How can I tell if I've taken up my cross? Because it's not a physical thing, obviously. How do I know if I've died to self and taken up my cross today? Well, since taking up your cross means you have to deny yourself, just see if yourself is alive. For example, if you get offended, offended because somebody ignored you or mistreated you, then you're not dead to self. Dead people don't get offended. If you died to yourself that morning, then it's whatever the Lord has for you, his graces. If you make selfish demands on people, do this for me, do this, just selfish demands, then you haven't denied yourself, you're not dead to self, you're certainly not carrying your cross, you're not following the Lord Jesus, because dead people don't make selfish demands. If you're ashamed of the gospel, embarrassed, if your opinion is so important that you don't listen and do you realize that the world is not changed by, the world is changed by your example, not by your opinion? So if it's all about you probably haven't died to self. There are all kinds of red flags. I know them in my life. I mean, they pop up early in the day, 9 a.m., oof. I know real quick if it's about me. And so our Lord, not just waxing poetic, is telling his apostles and disciples exactly what the Apostle Paul would teach later in the epistles. That we have to die daily. That we have to put down our old, mortify the flesh, pick up the cross, embrace our identity with the Lord Jesus, and then that day, follow him. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your word tonight. And I pray we will recognize that tonight, against anything and everything that this world teaches and says about affirming ourselves, loving ourselves, esteeming ourselves, that your word gives the true measure of what a fruitful and full life and full day is all about. And thank you for showing us and reminding us again tonight that it begins with denying ourselves. That except a grain of corn fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Help us to do the same, Father, daily. Daily to recognize that we have a very brief life. We have a brief journey to live for you and for eternity. And to do that, we must first deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow. Help this church to be faithful to do that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.